This month we are exploring the relationship of our faith to the words that we use, and today our focus is on how our words create reality. And we'll look at this topic through the life of Jesus, his words, his stories, and especially his parables help make the good news a reality for us. And there are two parables that we'll study: the parable of the growing seed and the parable of the mustard seed. And both of these are found in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4. If you have your Bible with you, I invite you to open to that passage. I'll be reading verses 26 through 34. And again, our scripture text is Mark, chapter 4, verses 26 through 34. He also said, "The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. The earth produces of itself, first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle, because the harvest has come." He also said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it's sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs, and puts forth large branches so that the birds of the air can make nest in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything in private to his disciples. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Abraham Joshua Heschel was one of the leading Jewish theologians of the 20th century, and he once said, "Words create worlds." And they certainly do. If you read the Chronicles of Narnia or the Lord of the Rings, or for that matter, any novel, the words on the page create a new world that you've never experienced before. And it just shows us that words are powerful. But words do more than just create fictional worlds. They have the power to create reality. They're like a blueprint for building a house. They point to what's going to happen. Now, when we say we can't do something, then that becomes our reality. And when we say we can do something, that also becomes our reality. You see, the words that we use and the messages we tell ourselves shape our actions, and they even impact our confidence. And that's why we must be really careful with the messages that we tell ourselves, because our words have the power to shape and transform us in both good and bad ways. And that's why if we keep telling ourselves negative things, like if we're saying, "I'm the worst," then that will become our reality. Negative words are dangerous. And in our society, lots of negative and critical words are spoken. Of course, there's a place for constructive criticism, but if negative words are the only words that we use, then we'll be creating a negative world. So the question I would like us to consider this morning is this: what kind of world are your words creating? And let's look at this question through the life of Jesus. He came to make the kingdom of God more of a reality. This is the world that he's creating. And Jesus' words played an important role in this. Now, the Gospel of Mark tells us that Jesus often spoke about the kingdom in parables. And we just read two of them a few moments ago. But there are many other parables about the kingdom of God, many of which we find in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 13. And I would encourage you to read that chapter later today. Now, some people find parables kind of annoying, even frustrating, or just plain hard to understand. They think, why didn't Jesus come right out and say what he meant? Why did he have to talk in such a cryptic way instead of giving us a concise definition for the kingdom of God or giving us a clear set of rules on how to be a good disciple? But Jesus didn't do this. Instead, he left us with a collection of parables, a collection of stories. Now, the brilliance of these parables is that they help every person who hears them encounter the good news of God in a fresh way. By speaking in parables, Jesus made room for each listener to be swept up into the story where the good news could become part of their own reality. And by the way, the term good news in the Greek also means gospel. And when we think about that word, what often comes to mind are the four Gospels that we find in the Bible. The Gospel according to Matthew, the Gospel according to Mark, the Gospel according to Luke, and the Gospel according to John. These four Gospels are extremely important in telling us the story of Jesus Christ. And that's where we find Jesus' parables. But you know, there are many other Gospels that have shaped Christianity and our understanding of God. Some of the most prominent over the last 2,000 years are, and these aren't books, but these are gospels. The gospel according to Augustine, the gospel according to Martin Luther, even the gospel according to Billy Graham. Think about how those individuals shaped our understanding of the Lord. But the list of Gospels doesn't stop there. There are many other Gospels that have played a significant role in our lives, though not all of them are well known. Think about how the Gospel according to Grandma or the Gospel according to your second grade Sunday school teacher shapes your understanding of God and even shaped your own life. The point I'm making is that all believers have a gospel to share. We all have experiences with the good news of God. And in every generation, people have wanted to tell their story. Storytelling is one of the most powerful tools that we have in helping each other connect to God. And that was a method Jesus used in his ministry. That's why he told so many stories. Now, in our scripture, Mark makes a really interesting observation in verse 33. He tells us that Jesus spoke the word to the crowd as they were able to hear it. And it says, he did not speak to them except in parables, in stories. I think Jesus knew that his stories, his words, have the ability to make the good news of God a reality for every person who listens to them. And in a similar way, the words that we use and the stories that we tell can affect how other people experience God. What we say can draw people closer to the Lord, or it can push them away. And what I want to suggest to you is that the words that we use are a lot like planting seeds. We scatter these seeds everywhere we go, and with time they will sprout and then grow and eventually produce a harvest. And we pray that what's produced is a good harvest. Now, like the sower in the parable of the growing seed, we really don't know how our seeds sprout and grow, but we trust that God will allow them to grow and produce a harvest. And that idea is reflected in verse 28 where it says, the earth produces of itself. Some translations read, the earth produces all by itself. That phrase, all by itself, in the Greek, comes from the word automate, from which we get our English word automatic. So automatically, without any apparent assistance, the seeds grow and produce a big harvest. We don't know how this happens, but it does. That was an important lesson for the first century Christians to hear, who, by the way, were the first people to read the Gospel of Mark. You see, they were adjusting to life without Jesus being physically present with them. And many of them were wondering if Jesus' mission would continue to grow and be fruitful. This parable, the parable of the growing seed, would have reminded them that Jesus said that the kingdom of God would grow toward a plentiful harvest, which would reassure them that Jesus' mission was indeed moving forward according to God's plan. They didn't know when the harvest would come, but they could trust in God's timing. And that means they could live with hope, and they could share words of hope. I really do think that's a message we need to hear, because we're living in a time when there are lots of negative and pessimistic words. A number of people feel pretty gloomy about the state of our country and the state of the world. Some people even have a dark outlook on Christianity. They see dwindling church attendance, an increasing number of church closures, and an overall lack of interest and participating in Christian life. They recognize that the church is no longer a major player in society as it was a half century ago. It has a much smaller influence. And that can be a discouraging situation. Now, I believe Christianity is going through a major overhaul. It may be losing some of its political and cultural influence. But if we focus on that decline, if we make that our main focal point, then that's going to become our reality. But I think Jesus would rather us focus on other things and realize that we can make an impact in other ways. I want you to remember that Jesus taught that God's kingdom is like an underground movement, like seed secretly growing. Our words function as those seeds. And so if we are genuinely concerned about the future of the church, then we need to give careful attention to how we talk, what kinds of words we're using, and what messages we're conveying about the faith. Now, we scatter these seeds everywhere we go. Eventually, they are going to grow into something. Some of our words will lead to growth, prosperity, and a vibrant life. And some of our words might try to drag us down. That means we need to use our words wisely. We need to be thoughtful with the messages that we share, the messages that we tell ourselves, and the messages that we tell each other, because that shapes our reality. Now, if we want our seeds to produce something good, Jesus teaches us that we should live like salt and light. Now, we might not ever get to see the growth from the seeds that we plant, but we can have confidence that a fruitful harvest will take place because the kingdom is growing. Now, Jesus shared that message in his parable about the mustard seed. In verses 31 and 32, Jesus says, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God? It's like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the ground is the smallest of the seeds on earth. Yet when it's sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs and puts forth large branches so that the birds of the air can make nest in its shade." I'm mindful of an experience that I think many of us had as kids. We'd come home from school with a bean planted in rich, dark soil in a paper cup. And out of hope, we placed that little paper cup in a windowsill. We watered it. We checked for growth every day. We didn't give up because we kept at it. We lived with tenacity. And before long, a green sprout pushed its way up through the soil toward the sun. And through it all, we couldn't explain it, but we lived with hope, excitement, joy, and tenacity. And that shaped our reality. Jesus wants us to remember that God's kingdom is growing and a great harvest is promised. And that gives us hope to plant seeds with confidence, with anticipation, with joy. And that will certainly shape our reality right now. Because when we live with hope, confidence, anticipation, and joy, the kingdom of God grows and becomes more visible in us. And this all begins with the words that we use. Our words have the power to make God's kingdom more visible, more of a reality here on earth. And so I want to return to that question I asked at the beginning. What kind of world, what kind of reality are your words creating? Now, if you want the world to look a little more like the kingdom of God, start with your words. Fill them with the love and grace of God and strive to live like salt and light. And when you do, the seeds that you scatter will make God's kingdom more of a reality for us, for our community, and for this world. And that's desperately needed.